Lecture 12, the 1930s, the low, dishonest decade.
Welcome to this lecture in which we consider the 1930s, a decade of gathering storm clouds and of dark portent for the future. It was a dark time marked by a deepening worldwide economic crisis, the failure of democracies, and what many felt was the inevitable global clash of ideologies that had superseded liberal ideas. This lecture will examine that tragic trajectory. In our previous lecture, we had discussed the radical new movement of fascism that claimed to be a part of the illiberal wave of the future. Now in the 1930s, one would see a growth of clashes as well as a realization of how this decade would force upon the entire world a choice of course. It was a time of crisis. Crisis that could be observed in many ways, in culture, in society, and ideas. The crisis in culture was summed up by the British poet W.H. Auden, who wrote about the 1930s as a decade in a poem that marked the start of World War II at the end of that dark decade, and thus the poem was entitled September 1st, 1939, that he was now, quote, uncertain and afraid as the clever hopes expire of a low, dishonest decade. The low, dishonest decade was the words that he used to describe this period of sliding into misfortune. At the same time, the great Irish poet William Butler Yeats had tried likewise to feel the pulse of the times. He wrote that it was a time when things fall apart and the center does not hold, when, quote, the best lack all conviction and the worst are full of passionate intensity. In this decade, those who might have changed the fortunes of the times seemed to lack that crucial political ingredient that we talked about from the very start of our lectures, the sense of confidence and momentum seemed to have passed to movements opposed to liberal ideas. Those liberal ideas had been battered by the First World War, the erosion of human rights, the growth of total states, and the post-war disappointment with democratic politics, especially in Europe, but spreading worldwide as well. One could detect also crisis in society, which would lead thinkers to argue that extreme times called for extreme solutions, to argue that it was a time of choices, choices for communism or against communism, for fascism or against fascism, a time of sorting out into different camps. The crisis in society was especially marked in economic terms, synonymous for us with the Great Depression that reached worldwide after 1929. It hit two countries with developed industrial economies especially hard, the United States and Germany. In the United States, the Great Depression was at its height in 1932, with a quarter of the workforce unemployed and industrial production sagging by 60%. Germany had likewise been badly hit, with 6 million unemployed in 1932, disenchantment with democracy. The consequence was that both the Nazis and the German communists would see their support grow, and many were convinced that democracy was doomed, with the only question remaining what would replace it in Germany. Paradoxically, it was precisely at this moment that ideas of imperialism would be offered up as a way of renewing the cultures in crisis, a way of, as it were, backtracking from the experience of the First World War and its global impact to revive the imperialist project. Some Europeans looked back to their recent imperialist past, hoping to reinvigorate their own cultures and politics by dominating others and once again expanding their empires. It's paradoxical, but there's probably an internal logic to it, that such demands were strongest in those nations whose colonies were few or disappointing, in the case of Italy, or had been lost or taken away as a result of defeat in the First World War in the case of Germany.